Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke and chapter 2. And the title of the message this morning is On Earth Peace, Goodwill Toward Men. You know, we're not directed by Scripture, you know, acknowledging the Lord's incarnation. It's not an ordinance, but it's a great opportunity. And so when we look at the events surrounding the birth of Christ, how exciting to see God working on the behalf of mankind. And so many things fulfilled here. And so if you found your place there in Luke chapter 2, we'll start at verse 1 and go down through verse 21. If you're able to stand with me, please stand as we read God's word. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 2, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named to the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Father God, I pray that you would just bless the word to our hearts this morning, that we would just catch a vision of the excitement of this moment, that we also would be just excited to know that there is a Savior for all of man. Lord, bless our time this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. And so a simple message this morning of encouragement. We see this so many years waiting, even several hundred years of silence from the prophets, and yet we see God's promises coming to pass. What an exciting time this is. And there's certainly a pattern here, as throughout the Bible, when we look at the pattern of faith and see that it begins first with God's declarations, and then accepting that as truth and then acting upon that truth. And so As we look at this, we see a number of things happening, and there's many scriptures being fulfilled here. But I just wanted to focus on a couple of things concerning these shepherds. There's a number of accounts of this time period, and some from the perspective of these shepherds, some from the perspective of the wise men and others. From these shepherds, very exciting. You know, all of the nation of Israel was awaiting their Messiah. And they had been waiting for a long time, for several generations, wondering when it would come to pass. And so we see here Joseph and Mary, through this act of Caesar, coming back into Bethlehem. Caesar wasn't with God's plan, and yet God used him. It's so interesting, when you know the Lord and you're watching him work, it's amazing sometimes how people who, want nothing to do with God and his way can fall into lockstep with God's plan. How much better would it be to be knowledgeable of God's plan and to be voluntarily for it and to be used of God than to be like a chess piece that gets moved around, or like Balaam's donkey, just used, but God can use anything. He used Caesar here to bring Joseph and Mary back to Bethlehem and fulfilling scripture there, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But again, there they are, and she was very near to giving birth, and then does, in fact, give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see then God makes his intentions known to the shepherds. And it's a wonderful picture here. As we said in verses 8 to 9 and following, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Of course, we can understand that. We can put ourselves in their place, something that they had obviously never seen before. And they weren't certain immediately what that was all about. Mary was no different when the angel appeared to her, and she was afraid. She was thinking in her mind, what does this mean? And yet we see the angel say to these shepherds, fear not. God wants to give us assurance. He wants to give us truth. He wants to let his plan be known, and his plan is a wonderful plan. He says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So not just a message for these shepherds, but truly a message for all people to understand. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It doesn't get any more explicit than that, what is occurring here. Essentially, these angels are saying, this day has come. The promised Messiah has come. He is here this day in the city of David, the Savior, Christ the Lord, the Anointed One. And to give assurance that they weren't just telling them that, they say, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So unlike what his lineage would have them think, that he would be in a palace in full splendor as the a king in line of David's throne, and yet they find him in great humility. And then it says the angels, a multitude of angels singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so there was no misinterpreting what the point of this was. There was no misinterpreting what Jesus Christ meant to mankind. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now this would have, I believe, struck something within them because they would have been instructed concerning the prophets many hundreds of years past. Prophecies concerning this, and these angels are bringing confirmation of that. By way of example, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and following, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And as I mentioned, you know, particularly in Bethlehem, this prophecy of Micah in chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." And so that is Emmanuel, God with us, God from everlasting to everlasting, coming to dwell with man. And so they're saying, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace and goodwill are come in the person of Jesus Christ. We see the heart of God in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And so this proclamation by the angels was in keeping with that desire. And now we have a focus. They have now somewhere to look, somewhere to go. And so Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, they were all, at the time when God directed them to write those words, they were all looking forward to his coming. And yet they did not see those promises fulfilled, but they were persuaded of them. And they could see them afar off by faith. And so they were looking forward to his coming. The shepherds looked at him. What an amazing time that would have been to be there, to be hearing these words. It's, to me, this is right on the same level as when Jesus entered into the temple and quoted the scriptures and said, "This day are these scriptures fulfilled in your ears." I mean, if that isn't a time to shout and get excited, wow. And I mean, to have an angel choir just confirming all of this, I mean, what an amazing thing to take part in that. And yet we can see their this testimony. You know, Luke, a faithful witness, he collected all of this and God directed him. And so we have this wonderful witness testimony that we can get excited about as we see what God did. And so, you know, the prophets look forward, the shepherds were looking at him, those in his day, and today we're looking back to that time when he came. And so we have the scriptures that have unfolded since then as well, as in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And if adoption into God's family isn't goodwill, I don't know what is. Peace and glad tidings of good things. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. Let us know that in this was manifested the love of God toward us. That word manifested means it's been brought forth visually to be seen. It's now appeared in front of us. It says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Propitiation, that full satisfaction for our sins. And so we know that the Messiah came to die. And so there is great joy in his coming. Yet for us, as we look back, it's simultaneous joy and it's somber reflection as well, knowing that he came down from perfect fellowship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit to come and dwell on earth as a man and then to suffer for our sakes, because we could not save ourselves. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And so All of these things in God's timing. And so God... Oh, thanks, buddy.
I'll just use that.
And so God sent the Lord Jesus in his timing. And we see now this announcement's made. God is making it known that the Savior is here. And so then we see these shepherds. It says that they came with haste. And they didn't just come. They came and they found him. The moment that they heard the good news of the arrival of the Messiah, they got going. I think, you know, and again, they didn't linger. But imagine what they would have missed had they failed to believe, had they had a heart of unbelief, had they had a skepticism. Yet they were full of faith, believing. We see that. We know they believed because they went. You know, we also show what we believe based on what we do. It's truly our belief that forms our thoughts and attitudes and then our actions. And we see them, it says, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Not later, right? Let us go now unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so they acknowledged that these messengers that had brought this word, it truly came from the Lord. And they came with haste, it says. And so again, this was immediate. They were not waiting around. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The angels told them where the Messiah could be found, and they did not want to wait around. And I would say they would not want to wait around for him to change locations. They wanted to see him. They wanted to have that promise, be in full confidence, seeing the sign. They were directed to go, that would be the sign that they could go and know for in all certainty that he was the Messiah. And so they desired that opportunity. Again, I think of the encouragement of those that went before. The prophet Isaiah, he says in Isaiah 55, 6 and following, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so the encouragement is there to seek the Lord. That was all the way through. All the prophets were directing people's hearts to God, that they would depart from their wickedness, that they would acknowledge their need of God, that they could be God's people, and that he would be their God. We see also, again, in the New Testament, looking back at what Christ has done for us in being born, and then ultimately, after living that sinless life, dying for us on the cross, it says here in Hebrews chapter 3, and verse 13 and following, it says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Again, that example is of the nation of Israel who heard the prophets again speaking, encouraging them, and even through Moses and Aaron directing them, and yet so many of them showed that picture of the world and of the flesh in hardening their heart to that warning, that they would take that opportunity to be a partaker of God's blessing. And so the message has always been consistent, whether it's the prophets or whether these folks, even in that contemporary time period. And then as we look back, when the good news is given, it is incumbent upon us to seize upon it. To recognize it as the very word of God and to accept it as truth, and to act upon it. That is the responsibility of every person. We have individual soul liberty, and I've heard others say, I think appropriately, not only is it individual soul liberty, but it's individual soul responsibility. Every one of us has a responsibility before God. You know, we'll not come as a group. He deals with people as individuals. Each and every one of you as individuals. He is calling out to you. He is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's to every individual. And so it's an individual call, and it's an individual answer. We come alone, and that comes from our individual heart. As we hear and understand, it doesn't matter if nobody else believes. We're responsible for what we do with the Word of God. Each of these shepherds individually had to make a decision what they were going to do with what they had been told. And yet it appears that unanimously they were of the same mind. Let's go. Let's get down there. And so down they went. And they headed down there, and he was found of them. As I had mentioned in Jeremiah, he says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Again, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so when we hear the word of truth, we act upon it and we seek to know him. To know him as our Savior, not just to know who he is, to know him as a good teacher, to understand some of his teachings, you know, to learn some of the Proverbs, to maybe get an edge on life, you know. No, we need to know him as he is, our Savior, that we are wholly insufficient to redeem ourselves, and he is the Redeemer. He is worthy. The merit is in Jesus Christ. And so, these folks, these shepherds, they come and they see him there, and now it's all confirmed. They've seen it, and so we now see their reaction. It says in verse 17 of our text, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know, I think that's just a natural reaction. You know, I certainly... since the day that I got saved, there's never been a time when I thought that it's bad for people to know the gospel. Now there has been times when I, because of my own sinfulness and my own pride and my own ego and my own fear of man, when I've closed my mouth when I ought to have opened it, but there was never a time when I thought that was good. And I'll also say there's never been a time when I've opened my mouth and told somebody the gospel that I ever regretted it. Not a single time. Every single time I've ever told the gospel, it has just added another piece of wood into the fire in my heart just to recognize what God has done for me and how he just plucked me out of a situation where I was in great peril. Any moment I could have slipped into eternity and been punished in the lake of fire, which would have been my deserved punishment. And yet God in his mercy brought his word in front of me through a faithful witness, and I could hear it. Because they also were just simply proclaiming the glory of God that they had come to know in their heart. And I was able to hear it and see it for what it was and then act upon it and receive the Lord as my Savior. And so any of us that receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that's within us to desire to do that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, the Bible says. And so they are making it known. What is it? Are they just talking about their adventures? No. They're saying they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, specific to Jesus Christ. It was about him. They were pointing to him. He's the Messiah. The angels told us. We went and saw it. I'm telling you, he's here. Go and see. And so it says here, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Again, amazing. They're wondering. And I don't think like scratching their head wondering. I think with wonder, they're realizing this has come to pass after hundreds of years of waiting. Even, you know, from some of the prophets, 1,000 years. And yet here it is. Could it be true? And so many were wondering at those things. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She had also the witness of the angel herself to layer with that. She also had already declared that she was rejoicing in God her Savior. And so I don't believe she was worried about this. I believe that she was taking it all in and just contemplating, just pondering all these things in her heart, just letting God work in her heart. You know, that's something important to do. You know, things we can hear, things we can understand things from the Bible, or maybe not understand them necessarily completely. And yet, you know, we have the opportunity not to run about in panic. We can just take those things and just ponder those things in our heart. You know, the wonderful things of God's word for us when we think about what we have, our possession. You know, I didn't know everything about my possession in Christ the day I got saved. But praise the Lord, as I have lived as a believer and studied God's word, it's becoming more and more evident the things that we have in Christ. Just layer upon layer upon layer. All heavenly blessings and riches in Christ. And some of those things I didn't really understand. You know, even we talked here a couple weeks ago about the intercession of the Holy Spirit in prayers which cannot be uttered. I mean, that's something that only just in the last year or two I've really more deeply understood that. And it's been a tremendous blessing. For a long time I read that scripture and kind of, you know, like you wonder what that means. And yet we can ponder those things and still be encouraged and still believe God. And so it's not a heart of doubt. It's a heart of just pondering and trying to understand, desiring to understand. And then we see in verse 20, because the shepherds shared the good news, but they also praised God for it. There was joy here. It says, and the shepherds returned in verse 20, glorifying and praising God for what? For all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And that's, to me, I can relate to that. Maybe you can relate to that. When you dwell upon the things that we can read in His Word, when we know that we have an expected end, when we know that if Christ is dwelling within us, we will be taken up, that we're not waiting to go through the tribulation. We're listening for the sound of a trumpet. At any moment, we could get caught up to be together with Him. It's exciting. And it's all reason to glorify and praise God. As, again, looking back in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 1 and following, it says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. That's the heartbeat of the believer as we recognize that when we receive the living water from Jesus Christ, it becomes in us a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we recently moved out of town and we got a well, and the well gives good water. You know, if anybody wants some of that water, we can just fill a cup and give it to them. You know, it just keeps coming. Now that's temporal water. But what I'm getting at is, we're not miserly with that water. We have an excellent source. And the living water that is in you, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, we can give that out. We can give it out freely. Cup full, a bathtub full, an ocean full. You will never exhaust the supply of God's grace in the gospel. It's something that is free. It can be freely given. And yet it's of eternal value when it's received in a heart that is ready to receive it, that God has prepared and has brought the increase and give them acknowledgement to the truth. And you can see people pass from death into life. What kind of water is there like that? You know, how exciting. And so these men, they're glorifying and praising God. And I just feel like we can identify with that and have joy in our own hearts. Again, as we look back, we see here in Romans chapter 15, As he talks about the ministry here in verse 8 and following, it says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'For this cause will I confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name.'" And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And so this is the end of things that God desires for us, that we would have dwelling within us the love of God, also the peace of God, and that we would have in that joy in believing. As we look back to what the angel said here, they say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And then as the angel sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so just as a reflection on that this morning, I just wanted to encourage you as we look at that event. You know, again, it's a wonderful opportunity we have at this time of year, as, you know, folks are celebrating the Christmas season. We understand that, you know, and not to go off on the rabbit trail of all the different things that are wrong about the observation of the, you know, Christmas holiday and all that goes along with it. But I just know that a Savior was born. It's real. He's real. And no worldly, you know, consumerism can ever change that. None of that means a thing to me. And I lived my life in secular humanism before I heard the gospel. But none of it means, it's all chaff now, because I know that a Savior was born for us. It's real. And he wasn't just born. He lived a sinless life. He died for our sins. And then he rose from the dead and demonstrated his great power over sin and death. And so all of that is wrapped up when we think of God condescending to come down to earth for us. Great joy and rejoicing. You know, just like Simeon seeing the baby Jesus in the temple and just saying, "I can die now because I have seen the salvation of Israel and a light to lighten the Gentiles." How exciting that is. That's something that we ought to take joy in at this time. Don't get distracted with all the other hubbub. That's all such a distant second place. But we can acknowledge what's real about, like, why is it the year 2020 this year? It's because of Jesus Christ. It's the year of our Lord. And so the coming of Jesus Christ was a big deal and still is a big deal to us. And so we ought to thank God for his love and grace. Thank God that a Savior has come and we can have peace, real peace, a peace that the world can't give us. You know, you can just break the bank this time of year and it'll never bring you the joy that will come with knowing that you have Christ in your heart. And that's my encouragement. If there's anybody here that's hearing the sound of my voice and you don't have that peace in your heart, you don't know that Christ is your Savior, understand the Savior has come. He is there. His sacrifice has been made. The gift has been offered and it's there for you. We understand at this time of year what it is to receive a gift. We don't offer money for it. We don't offer to work it off. We acknowledge that a beautiful and wonderful gift has been made, paid for by someone else. And we just simply receive it. And that's what I'm asking of you. If you have not yet received Jesus Christ, receive him. Receive him today. It's a gift. God paid for it at great price with the death of his only son. It's offered to you because of God's great love for you. A love that we don't deserve, and yet, amazingly, it's been offered. And so receive that gift today. It's as simple as believing on Him, trusting in Him, not trusting in yourself. That's part of repentance, is acknowledging you can't save yourself. Turn from all those works and look to Jesus Christ and what He offered. Trust that His blood can wash away your sin, and His death, burial, and resurrection can give you everlasting life. And He will receive you. He says, all that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And so that's my encouragement to you. If you've not received Him, receive Him today. And for us that have received Him, we can simply rejoice. And rejoicing takes many forms. We're rejoicing in internal joy, in the peace that we have when we pillow our head at night, knowing that we're safe. If we should not open our eyes the next morning, we would open our eyes to see the face of our Savior. We have that consolation, that confidence, the Holy Spirit in us, confirming that we're the children of God. And it manifests itself outwardly on our face. That peace can be seen. It can be heard in our speech. And certainly that peace brings joy, and that joy encourages us to speak out concerning what God has given us. And so we go and we tell a world that is in darkness that a light has sprung up, that there is a light. They can look to the Savior and be saved. And as we do that, not only do we bring encouragement, and again, it's not always so. You know, the gospel will make some sad, it will make some mad, but it will make some glad when they hear it and believe it. And so how wonderful to have that opportunity. And so that joy and that peace also drives us to open our mouths and glorify God as we say what He's done in our lives and what He can do for those around us. And so let's be encouraged. At this time of year particularly, I believe people are open to discussing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to tell them about Jesus. Not just Jesus as a baby in a manger, though certainly it's important to point out that that baby in a manger fulfilled many scriptures. And then through His life, as He just manifested forth His power and the fact that He was the Son of God, and then in offering His life, He demonstrated that greatest love, dying for His enemies and giving us that opportunity to be reconciled to Him through His blood. What a wonderful message that is. And I hope that you're encouraged this morning, recognizing that there is a Savior today that can save the whole world. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's not a single person here that God doesn't want to save. Every single one can have it. There's grace enough for all. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this time to reflect upon the greatest gift that's ever been given in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We're so thankful for that gift this morning, and we pray that there's not a person here that would leave without that gift, but that they would receive it, be humbled in their heart, and turn from self-works and religion and look to Jesus Christ by faith. Lord, we pray that we'd be encouraged throughout this time of the year, that we would take the opportunities that You give, wonderful opportunities to talk about the Lord and what He's done, to talk about this gift and how amazing it is, that people might come to know the joy that comes with receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Savior and having that peace in their heart. Lord, we pray that You would open those effectual doors of witness, that You would give us wisdom to know what we ought to say, and give us the courage to say what we need to say with conviction. And Lord, bring to remembrance those scriptures that are needful. And we just pray that You would do the work, that we would die to ourselves, that we would just get out of the way. We know You want to declare, just as those angels perfectly gave Your message, so You want to give that message to a world, and You want to use us as vessels for Thy glory. But the glory is Yours, Lord. And so that we would just not confuse the message with our own wisdom of words, but just simply get out of the way and allow You to tell people that they could be changed, transformed from the inside out. Lord, we just ask that You would have Your will and way in our lives, draw us nearer to Thee, and bless us now with this peace and understanding of what we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.